Today we're going to be looking at dangerous prayers. We're going to look at a prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139. Again, his enemies were attacking him and accusing him of things. And instead of just denying the charges and defending himself, he prayed a very dangerous prayer. He asked God to search his heart. Let me introduce this prayer. It's going to be from Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. I'm going to read it aloud first, and then I'm going to come back and have us maybe read it together. Here's the dangerous prayer. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Friends, this is a very dangerous prayer to pray. Let's pray. Let's sing it again. Let's say it again. Say it together. Here we go. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In order to digest this prayer, we're going to kind of break it down into four parts. And we'll walk through each of these, and hopefully they help you understand the significance of this prayer and maybe make it a part of your prayer life. Let's begin with search my heart, the first part of this prayer. David says, search me, God, and know my heart. Search my heart. Some of you may be scratching your heads and thinking, well, doesn't God already know my heart? Doesn't God already search my heart? We have to understand something, that without Christ, we don't have a very good heart. We live in a fallen world. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when we have God search our heart, and we all think, oh, we have a good heart. Oh, they're good. They're good people. Oh, you ever heard that? They'll give you the shirt off their back. Then they'll remind you they gave you the shirt off their back. We know what you're talking about. For people that are nice, but they really haven't surrendered maybe their life to Christ. And so none of us have a good heart without Christ. We live in a fallen world. Jeremiah 19:7 says, the human heart is most deceitful of all things. Without Christ, we do not have a good heart. We deceive others. We deceive ourselves. We lie. We can't be trusted. We're imperfect people. I remind you all the time, this is a church for imperfect people. If you're perfect and you happen to walk in here this morning, I apologize. Because you're going to find a lot of imperfect people here, because we serve a perfect God, and this is the perfect church for imperfect people because we recognize that. And I think it's important for us to understand that. So many people turned off to Christianity because they think, like, well, these people all think they're just perfect. They all just think they're just great. Ask one of our people. Oh, no, we're imperfect. So I just love that. I love that. I please hope you really embrace that. And our deceitful hearts, to pray this dangerous prayer, search my heart, oh God, show me what's in there, is huge. I remember the first time I was exposed to this verse. I was a freshman in Bible college. We had devotions on our dorm floor twice a week. And so the guys would all come out, and we'd set the floor, put our backs up against the walls, and everybody would take a turn leading the devotion. And it would last usually about 15 minutes. Well, a student that was doing it tonight picked this verse, and he said, I want you to read this verse over and over, and I want you to meditate on this verse. I don't want anybody to say a word. When you do this for 15 minutes, I'll call when time is up. Well, 15 minutes is an eternity to a Bible college student. But I thought, you know what? Okay, let's try it. And I started reading the verse and praying the verse. And after about the 15th or so time that I'd gotten through the verse, I started feeling a real sense of guilt. It was as if God was shining a spotlight on my sinful life in the areas that I still protected from the world that I knew that I had. And I'd been doing what most people do. I compared myself with other people and say, well, I'm better than they are. I'm better than they are. But God looks at us, he says, you're to compare yourself to a holy God. Oh, well, that's not good. I remember that night, I was convicted that night. I believe it actually changed the trajectory of my spiritual life, the direction that I was going. I believe it really had an impact on me. And friends, when we say, search my heart, it's a dangerous prayer to pray to God, because God is going to show you things in your heart that you either don't know about or you don't want to acknowledge. I can guarantee that to you. You pray this prayer sincerely, God, show my heart. Search my heart. Show me. There are things there that you've hidden, you've pushed to the back, you've found some way to justify, and God will bring them to the forefront. And he does that not because he's cruel. He does it because he wants a deeper intimacy with you. He wants to walk closer by your side. And there are things that are continuing to come between you and God that keep that from happening. After Daniel prayed, search my heart, he essentially prayed, reveal my fears. Text actually says, know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. What makes you anxious? What makes you afraid? I thought it would be just be curious. What are things that you're afraid of? Put your hand up if you have one. Share. What's yours?
Me? Snakes and spiders.
That sounds like a country western song, doesn't it? Spiders. I don't like spiders and snakes. Yeah, there you go. What else? Tristan?
Offending and letting people down.
Letting people down. Boy, that sounds good. What else? Somebody else afraid? Come on, you know you are. What are you afraid of? Okay, Pat?
Afraid of being alone sometimes.
Of being alone sometimes. And?
I'm afraid that I am not doing what you're
afraid you're falling short in your faith. Okay. You know, okay, go right ahead, Earl.
People in today's society.
You're afraid of people in today's society. I saw another hand back here. Yeah. His ex-wife. You know, we all got some things to be afraid of. All of us have things in our lives we're afraid of. Some of you mentioned some physical things. Some of you mentioned some emotional things. But we've all got things. Things like losing our jobs, or fear of losing your spouse and you're going to be alone, or afraid for your children growing up in this world, or afraid of what the future is bringing, afraid of failing. Maybe you're afraid after this pandemic that you're just afraid you're going to get this terrible disease, and so that's you're paranoid about it. I know people are wearing their masks, driving the car by themselves. And I'm like, what are they shielding themselves from? I don't understand that. But some people are afraid. Here's number two. Reveal my fears. Why would David want God to reveal his anxious thoughts, his fears? You see, there's something to be learned by knowing what makes you anxious. I'm not sure this is in your notes, but if it isn't, you ought to write it down, because here it is. What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. I'm going to give you some examples of that. Someone says, well, I'm scared my marriage isn't going to work. Odds are you're not trusting God with your marriage. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to pay the bills. I can guarantee you're not trusting God with your finances. I'm afraid it's up to me to keep my children safe. I can guarantee you're not trusting to put your children in God's hands. You see, your fears reveal where you're trusting God the least. And we pray, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts. That's from Psalm 139. God will reveal where we are struggling with trusting God the least. And I prayed this prayer for a week, and by the end of the week, I was believing God revealed to me my struggle. I struggle with the fear of failing. I really do. Not so much as when I was younger in life, but I feel it now as an old man. I feel this fear more and more of letting people down. See, I love this church. Some of you like this church. I love this church. And I've got blood, sweat, and tears in this church. Some of you do also. I know. I look around and I see it. You know, I can look around this wall. I say, I painted that wall, and I painted that floorboard. And you know, you worked here. You know, you got some sweat and blood tied up in this building. And I have this great fear that this congregation has a greater need than what I can provide because I'm getting old. And I'm just afraid that I'm not doing what I need to do. I'm afraid that I'm not cutting it. You know, we started to build this church. I was 52 years old. Here's a heads up. I'm not 52 anymore. And that's personally just one of my fears. My fear is that perhaps maybe it's time for me to hang up my saddle. Maybe it's time for me to say, hey, you know, there's other people that could do this, other people that could do a better job of it. And I pray that prayer. That's my prayer all the time. God, please show me what I need to be doing. Show me how to do it. Point me in the right direction. That's what I pray all the time. I pray that. And your preacher, you know, I can't lead by fear. I have to be led by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I don't know how long God is going to allow me to do this, but my prayer is that he will sustain me and guide me a little longer. That's my prayer. And there's so much that I can envision this congregation doing in Ocala, and so many people. We are not running out of lost people in Marion County. So our job is not done. I double dog dare you to pray this prayer this week. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. You may be shocked by what God might reveal to you in your own heart, in your own life. Search my heart and reveal my fears. Here's number three. It's where things kick up a notch. Number three, uncover my sins. Well, now I've gone to Madeline. Uncover my sins. It took courage for David to pray, see if there is any offensive way in me. He's asking God to look to see if there are any inconsistencies in his life, anything that's contrary to the truth, to examine him carefully. He's asking, show me if I'm doing anything displeasing in my life, anything offensive to you. That takes guts. Well, it's really easy to see sins in others. We're expert at sins in others. It's tough to see our own in the mirror. You know, we think, did you hear the language that came out of that person's mouth? Can you believe that they wore that to church today? Did you hear about what they did last week? Oh, he missed church. I know he was playing golf or going fishing. Me? You wonder about me? Well, bless your heart, I am just fine. Many years ago, I learned something. 44 years of ministry, took me that long. We tend to accuse others, but excuse ourselves. We accuse others, but excuse ourselves. I can remember like it was just yesterday, one of my pet peeves driving is sitting at a light when it turns green and nobody moving. Anybody else share that one? Oh, yeah, a few of us here. Okay. Now, I have to say, I'm not one of those people, you know, the definition of a split second, the time it takes for the light to turn green and the person behind you to blow the horn. I'm not one of those people. I follow just a plan. And just say, as soon as the light turns green, I go, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. And then I go, beep. I do a friendly beep. I don't do a, I just do a little beep. Because, you know, people are playing with a radio, and they're playing with their phone, and they're talking to their friends, and they're doing this and that and that. And most of the time, people just go, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, and they go. Sometimes they just only use one finger when they do this. But I try to be very pleasant about it, but I don't like sitting at the light when it's turning. It's like it's green. It's not getting any greener. Let's go. Come on, let's go. Time to go. Our boys were young, and they were sitting in the back, and we had stopped at a light. Linda and I were having an adult conversation. Some of you don't know what that is. That's an argument. And we're back and forth talking about whatever it was. I don't even remember what it was. Suddenly I hear from the back seat, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006, 1,007. Aren't you going to go, Dad? Of course, I looked up and it was green. I pushed the gas pedal, embarrassed, turning red. I'd embarrassed myself. I'd been a bad example to my kids. You see, the heart is deceitful amongst all things, most things. We tell lies to ourselves. That's why it takes courage to pray this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. I'm going to give you three questions to ask yourself if you're praying, uncover my sins. These are real quick. It won't take very long to give these three to you. But just three questions to ask yourself, just kind of a reality check. If you're praying this prayer, when you come to this number three, when you might be able to ask yourself these three questions. Here they are. Here's the three. What are others trying to tell me? If you've got two or three people who love you, now I'm not talking about people on the street or people you work with or whatever. I'm talking about people who love you. If you've got two or three people that love you and are telling you the same thing, that you need to work on something, you need to listen to them. You need to listen to them. If two or three people are telling you the same thing, you need to listen to what they have to say and do a serious examination of what you're doing. You might have an issue, you might have a problem. You need to think about that. Here's a second question. What have I been rationalizing? In other words, things that you might have said, some of these words. See if any of these ring a bell. Yeah, this may not be right, but it's not a big deal. This is how I deal with things. This is how I roll. This is how I cope. Besides, it's nobody's business but mine. It isn't hurting anybody. It's one of my things. If you've ever said anything like that, you may have heard those words, you better maybe stop and pause and ask, what am I saying those things about? What am I rationalizing? Here's the third. Where am I most defensive? Where am I most defensive? No, we're not going to go there. No, that's not going. We're not going to talk about that. No, no, you can't judge me there. No, no. Oh, I don't have a problem. Just back off. Somebody gets real sensitive whenever you talk to them about something. And you might want to consider looking at that thing, whatever it is. I had an issue several years ago. Sometimes I still struggle with. I used to talk very fast. Now, I still probably talk a lot faster at times than I need to. But I work at it. I used to talk so fast, and people would tell me, you were talking so fast, I couldn't understand you. You know, I used to tell them, you're just listening too slow. That was just a comeback. And then one time, we were recording the service, and I remember I was playing it, listening to the sermon on recording, and I thought, they have it at a bad speed. And I went to the sound person, I said, you've playing that at a faster speed. He goes, no, that's normal speed. I said, that can't be. Let's hear another one. Pulled up another sermon, played it. I was shocked at how fast I was talking. And so that began in me a fire to slow me down and gave my wife permission. Guys, so dangerous to do this. Gave my wife permission to call me out when I was doing it. And my sweet, loving wife normally sits in the front row somewhere. She's singing, so she's over there. But usually she's in the front row. And when I'm preaching and everything's going fine, and all of a sudden I see her going, She could do anything, but I'm looking and I'm thinking, okay, I'm not doing something right. And I have to examine, I have to look at it. I mean, it's something as simple as speaking too fast. Maybe yours has something to do with the way you speak to people. Maybe it's some of the language you use. Scripture says, let no unwholesome language come out of your mouth. What's the language that's coming out of your mouth? Is it wholesome? Does it honor God? Every time? Examine yourself and allow people to speak into your life. Hold yourself accountable. Uncover your sins. Okay, let's finally get to it. Here's number four. Lead me. Lead me. When God shows us the things we don't know about ourselves, things and don't honor God, we need to have them changed. And we're asking God to lead us and deal with those things. Let me tell you a little bit about forgiveness, just real quickly. We confess to God for forgiveness. You all understand that, you're believers. But we confess to people for healing. Please hear this, because there's some of you who need to hear this. We confess to God for forgiveness. We confess to people for healing. There's some things that have happened in your life and you're upset about, and you're mad about, you're carrying a grudge. That's another whole message, carrying a grudge. But you're carrying some kind of problem. And you know, when you ask God to forgive you, and God is good and gracious and loving, and he forgives and extends grace. But you're not still in good shape because you haven't asked forgiveness for healing, and you do that of others. So I just want to throw that out there, that we want God to lead us. We need to be in a healthy condition for God to lead us, not carrying baggage with us. Verse 24 says, "See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalm 139. Did you hear this? Lead me in the way everlasting. When you have the courage to pray a very dangerous prayer, you're asking God to search me. I give you permission to look inside of me. Reveal to me what I'm afraid of. What are my anxious thoughts? If there's any offensive way in me, change that. And early in our walk with God, you know, we get a lot of the big things out of the way. We learn better language and how to stop using immature language that we use when we were teenagers. And we don't need those kinds of words as an adult. We're adults. We're educated. We have an intelligence. We don't need to use those kinds of words. We have other words we can use. When we're older, what we find are there are a lot of little things that we seem to overlook. Little actions, little attitudes, little things that we just overlook. And whenever you begin to live your life for an audience of one, he begins to work in you in those areas. And when you pray this prayer, it will show you what you need and how Christ can help you conform into the image he desires you to be. It's a dangerous, dangerous prayer, but it's a prayer that can transform you. And I say that to you as a warning and as information for you to understand. If you're going to pray this prayer, you need to be prepared for God to deal with you. I want to read it one last time. Listen to this prayer. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, your word is so clear to us in this prayer. That Father, I believe, Father, people in this room who need this prayer to come from their lips. They need this prayer in their heart. And Father, to open the doors of their hearts so that you may come in and work in their lives. Father, all of us still struggle with sin. Sin hasn't gone away. We praise you, Father. We've given the gift of grace to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Father, we are saved. We've believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized by immersion. But Father, we still need to come before you and ask for forgiveness and work to change those things in our life that do not honor you. We pray that this prayer might be the beginning of that kind of journey for the people gathered here, that they would pray this dangerous prayer and you would begin to work in a mighty way in their lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.